I remember once I visited family in the United States and I started to read the Bible. Then one of those who were at house said, "Why you were reading the Bible? This person does not believe in God and he doesn't believe in the Bible. At first, can you prove to him that there is God, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ is true? And is he truly is the Lord and the Savior of the whole world?" And then you can read the Bible and interpret it. I know it is sometimes some people don't looking for the truth. They want only to be involved in discussion. I ask them a question. What do you think concerning the church? What do you believe in the church? He said, "Oh, the church, in fact, all those who are in the church are hypocrites." He expected that I will be very angry. I smiled and said, "Your answer is not totally correct, but it has something correct." He said, "How is it?" I said, "Instead of all, you can say some." He said, "I accept that." But I said, "And I accept some of them are hypocrites." He said, and then I asked him, "How can we change their mind to be sincere believers and to be faithful and to be very pure?" He started to discuss this matter, and at the end, he said to me, "Can I work with you in the church?" It was totally different than what he asked it at first. At first, he wanted to enter in dialogue or in just some arguments concerning the existence of God, concerning salvation, and so on. I know he has some troubles in the church, or the church for him is an obstacle. When we discovered that I am accept his idea, and we are in need to purify many of the people, and that all of them may become sincere in their faith, he accepted that, and he wanted to work hardly with me in the church. In Australia, in this trip, there was a group, they want to start a new church. About 20 or 30 families, and there was a little girl, about, I think, not more than 10 years old. And then I read the Bible and spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she said, "I have a question. How we can know that the Bible is correct? And how do you know that there is God?" At least 10 or 12 questions, and all of us felt that she just memorized these questions without thinking. I started to tell her that the Bible, there are the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is in the hands of the Jews, and the New Testament in our hand, and the Jews didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. If the prophecies in this book, the Old Testament, has been realized in the New Testament, then Christianity is correct. She said, "How can I know that what is written in the New Testament is facts? Perhaps it is just imaginations of some people who wrote it." Then I said, "Oh, there are many persons who are not Christian, like Josephus, the historian Jews, and in history, not the history of the church, there are even the life of Jesus Christ, we can quote it from the history, the general history, not only from the Christian history." She repeated the same questions. When I answered her, she repeated the same question without thinking. And I noticed while I am answering, she was praying in something she didn't care to hear. Her father and her mother were very upset. And her father afterwards said to me, "I avoid to even to be near her room because every time she saw me, she gave the same questions and without listening to the answer." What I said, I gave her just some attention, and I spoke with her in a very gentle way and cheerful way. And at the end, I asked her, "What about your phone number. I took her phone number, and I introduced her with a little lady. She is very lovely and cheerful person. On the same night, this little lady called the girl and spoke with her with good, in good way, and she asked her, she wanted to visit her. She welcomed her. And they became very close friends. And after a week, he said to her, I have a sermon of Father Tedros, and we want to make copies as a gift for the youth meeting. We want somebody to work because we want to make copies on the CD. She said to her, if it is for Father Tedros, I am ready to spend all the night with you. Then she was not in need of answer. She was in need of love. When she discovered that we truly love her, respect her, and that she has a special place in our hearts, then she accepted us. And now she became, I can say, the right hand of this little lady, which is very religious, and there is no problem at all. If we enter in discussions without thinking how to gain them, it is truly, it is not a Christian way. We have to know what their aim, what about their ideas, how can we attract them, what is the good way to attract them. We have a lot of examples of people who are in need sometimes for some arguments, and others are not in need of arguments, they are in need of just love and to be very kind with them. And I remember once a person came and asked and said to me, what do you believe in the Quran? What do you think about Muhammad? What do you think about the Bible? How do you believe Christ is the Lord? How the unlimited being becomes limited? If I enter in discussion and arguments, surely he will not accept anything. I said to him, I can answer all these questions, but you can't understand me. He said, why? I said, because you have an idea about Christianity from the TV and from the Muslims' books, therefore you can't understand me. I started to speak with him concerning the creation, how God loves man, he wants man to be a king, he is a lovely God, and he man for God, and God is interested in man. And then I started to speak how God, as a father, wants not to be isolated in heaven. He wants to be among men. And afterwards, when I spoke how, when we are, if I am a professor in a university and I have a child, I can't take this child to my library or give him the researches and said, I am a professor in university so and so, I have many researches, I have many rewards and so on. He will not understand. I have to speak with him with his own language as a child and play to with him until he will be developed. Afterwards, when he will become mature, he will understand all what I have done. I said to him, this is the situation. God is in heaven. He wants to deal with me according to my own language, according to my understanding. And I asked him, do you believe if God is isolated in heaven and you just worship him, is more sweet than when God, as the lover of all mankind, says, I will be among you, speak with you, and I will carry you to my heaven. Is it surely the second is, but it is impossible to my mind to accept the unlimited to become limited. I said to him, even in the material things, you can find something unlimited becomes limited. He said, how? I said, for example, for a long time, when a person is speaking in the United States, you can catch the vibrations of his voice through a radio, small radio in your hand. And he is in the United States and you are in Egypt. At the same time, the same voice will be heard in France or in Africa, in Australia. If the voice, which is limited, can we hear it in every place at the same time? Is it difficult for God to see him in everywhere while he is not parted or division in parts. I said to him, now I am here, and he was in the church at that time. In the church, I believe God is in the church. I'm not a part of God. And at my room, when I pray, I believe God as a whole, not as a part, is at my room. And in the last day, I will see God, and do you believe you will see him in the throne? God will be limited on the throne? And he started to say, it is logic, but too difficult to accept that. Then I said to him, okay, if you want to know Christianity, you read the New Testament. He brought a New Testament from the bookstore of the church, and after a couple of weeks he came and he asked me, do you remember me? I said, yes, you came from a couple of weeks and you were asking about our faith. I said, do you read the Bible? He said, yes, I enjoyed it. The person who says that Jesus is not the Lord is foolish. I said, that is it. But there is a problem. How the three becomes one? How Father and Son and the Holy Spirit are one? This is the problem. But I believe Christ is God. And surely he became man, the lover of all mankind. But how can you accept that? I said to him, the problem, you are looking 1 + 1 + 1, then equal 3. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. But 1 multiplied in 1, multiplied in 1, the equal 1. The Son is in the Father. The Holy Spirit is in the Son and in the Father, then it is multiplied, not to be admitted, to add, not to add this, plus this and that. I gave him also another example, the soul. I said to him, do you believe you have a soul? He said, surely. Is it that this soul exists or does not exist? He said, surely exists. Is it rational? He said, yes. His existence is rational. The table exists, but it is not rational. Do you believe you are alive or you are dead? He said, I am alive. Do you believe life is existence and is mind? There are three. The animal exists and the life, but without rational. The stone or the table exists without life. Is not rational without mind. Then I have my mind, I have my life, I have my existence. Can you tell me where is your existence of your soul? In what part of your body? He said, I don't know. Do you tell me what? Do you see your mind? What is mind? This is not just a brain. Because we know the animals have brains, but at the same time they haven't the mind by the human. Meaning as the with its thinking and development and so on. Then there is an existence, there is a mind, there is a life, and the three are one. When I do something, I can't say, oh, it is by my mind, not by my life, or it is by my existence, not by my mind. I am, as a human being, I am one, especially the soul as a whole. Then I said, this is the icon of God. And I gave him many examples with the same thing. And then he said, give me the chance just to revise the idea. When I feel truly he sincerely wants to understand, we are in need to answer many questions to the people. I visit some people in Ottawa this time. And they asked the ministry of Marinina, the nurse of Marinina, instead of printing just the picture of St. Ninesse, they want behind the picture, they write a question concerning Christianity and the answer. And millions of pictures are distributed from St. Ninesse or all the ministries. Then if we seriously write in very decent way, the questions and the answers, especially concerning our Christianity, why God is incarnated? Can God the unlimited become man? He said, there is no, truly a need forgiveness of sins that the Lord be crucified. Many other questions. What about the resurrection? And so on. I hope truly to be very serious to work on these items. How can we offer our faith to our kids, to our colleagues, to the young people in a very nice way and the logic, but without entering in, I don't like attacking others. We can't accept others by attacking another religion. We believe through by revealing what is sweet, they can leave what is not sweet. Sorry, I spoke about it because some people now ask what they will do if non-Christians ask them concerning their faith.
I just like to clarify something. There's a verse in Mark, chapter 10, verse 18. It says something.
Mark?
Chapter 10, verse 18.
Mark 10, 13?
It says 18. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." But isn't God Jesus? So why can't you call Jesus good?
It is very easy. Because the Jews used to give the titles of God to their teachers. When they said good, it wasn't just a title, and this title was attributed to God himself. The person who came and asked the Lord that he was a good teacher, he doesn't just give the title. The Lord wants to him, "Do you believe me? You can call me good teacher. If you don't believe I am the Lord, don't tell me with this title." And he didn't say to him, "Don't tell me, don't call me good." He said, "Why you call me good?" And this title is attributed to God himself. And the Lord himself said, "I am the good shepherd." And he said to the Jews, "Who can rebuke me any sin?" Then he called himself good, but he wants those who call him good to believe in him that he is God. The last or the second epistle of Saint Paul to his disciple Timothy, in fact, as I said, it was the last letter written by Saint Paul before he was martyred, and he expected that Timothy, on his arrival to Rome, the sample would be already, has been martyred. Therefore, he put all what he wants to reveal to his disciple or to all the people in short or in brief to as a farewell advice. He spoke about many things, which is very important for the servant. To be proud of the gospel, not to be shameful. When a person asks you, "Do you believe Jesus is the Lord, is God?" Don't be shameful. You say, "Yes, I am proud that he is the Lord and he is crucified." If you want to know, I can tell you why he was crucified and why he became a man. He spoke about him, how to be proud of the crucified Lord Jesus Christ. Also, he asked him to be loyal to faith. Sometimes we do not distinguish love and to not to be loyal to our faith. As somebody says, when a person asks you, "What about your faith?" You said, "All mankind will be saved." What is the difference between God of the Jews and our God? These answers, in fact, means that you are not loyal to your faith. Do you believe truly in your faith, the Christian faith? You have to be proud of it and to steadfast in faith and not to ignore the Orthodox or the right faith. Then the first thing he asked us to be proud of the crucified Lord, to be loyal to our faith, to be strong in grace. The Christian person, in fact, as he said to him, "You are a good soldier. We are an army. There is a battle. Truly, I am not a part in this battle. It is the battle between God and Satan, between darkness and light. But I have to have decision if I am truly a member of the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. Therefore, we have to be very strong and believe that we are victorious, and surely the Lord Jesus Christ will overcome his enemies, and he will establish his church or his king. The first point also in this episode, Saint Paul revealed to his beloved son that he is abandoned. He is abandoned. Apostles, many are against him. Many left him when he was in the jail and he is waiting to be martyred. When we read the epistle to the Hebrews, Saint Paul asks the people that they may go out from the camp to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified outside Jerusalem, the city of God. Then Saint Paul asks Timothy and asks every one of us, don't be shameful when many people reject you, or when you not only rejected, when they despise what you preach. It is in fact a kind of participation or sharing the Lord his crucifixion. To be outside, to be despised, to be rejected, that so that you may be crucified with him, and thus you will have the experience of the glory of his resurrection. Saint Paul, at the end of the epistle, the second epistle to Timothy, he granted him the apostolic blessing or the farewell blessing. In the verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, grace be with you, amen. This is in fact the main lines of the two epistles which are concerned not only in servants of God, but in every Christian to be really a servant of God or witness to the gospel of Christ. I hope all of us truly be like Timothy, the young person who truly was, I can say, little Saint Paul, and many times Saint Paul put his name with him in the introduction of the epistles. May our Lord grant all of us to be faithful servants of God. Glory be to God in any questions or comments.
In Luke 3:31, it's talking about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, but it's mentioning that David had a son called Nathan, but at the same time, the same genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew, chapter 1, verse 6, it mentions another son of David. How can that be?
The genealogy according to Saint Matthew is according to the law, because he wrote to the Jews. The genealogy of Saint Luke is according to the Roman culture or the nature. What is the difference? If a person married one of his relatives from the same tribe and he died and he had no children, according to the law, the second person, his brother, his cousin, the second person loyal to the family, has to marry this lady, and when she brings forth a child, he is attributed to the person who died, not to his physical father, because they want the person who died, his name will not be abolished. He has children, and this person attributed to him by law, not by nature. This is according to the Jews. The Gentiles cannot accept that. They want, this is born from this man, this child is his son. To the Jews said, no, this son is not his, this person is not his son, it is the son of the departed person, because God granted her this child to leave the name of this person, not to abolish. Therefore, you find difference between the two theologies.
First, a question last night about how we should present Christ to the world among us with our joy and our love to them. And here in the epistle, we have not to be ashamed also from Christ. The problem is that we have so many false teachers around us that actually distorted the image of the people that want to preach. Like we see them on TV, on whatever business, phony people that want to present their own version of Christ to the people. Now, I'm not sure if, like, I think we have also an obligation to go and outreach and actually preach the word to the people outside, but how can we distinguish ourselves? How not become this annoying type of preacher that we see around us and be really true preacher?
Christianity, in fact, the majority who accepted or converted to Christianity, the majority is not through the media. The majority accepted it through personal contact. Therefore, don't abuse your time or waste your time in the things which is not at your hand. Every one of us put in his mind, I want to be a witness to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you will attract just one person in all your life. You don't know what about this person. Perhaps he will be a preacher or he will attract a lot of people to Christianity. When we look to Philip and Peter, the two brothers, who is more famous, St. Peter or Andrew? St. Peter. Who attracted St. Peter to Christ? It doesn't mean Peter will be more crowned in heaven than Andrew, because he brought Andrew to the faith. This is the work of the church. How to attract a person and leave God work, perhaps through him, through me. In Christianity, there is no selfishness. I don't want people to be converted just through me. You preach Christianity, I preach the same Christianity. I don't care if people come through you or through me. What I hope that all mankind become crowned or glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ in the last day. Any other question? I have one thought.
It is good to have this kind of spiritual meeting as a servant, but how we can apply what we heard in this 2 days in our life as a servant? How we can follow the steps of St. Paul and St. Timothy? Because we feel that we are a role model and we are still away from the feeling about service and the way of dealing with serving God.
I think if we want truly to practice what St. Paul or St. Timothy mentioned, or they served, and to be on the same line, we have to do two things. On the personal level, everyone has to work seriously by all means, in his inner man, and through his friends, through his relatives, in all occasions, and sometimes I know somebody in the United States, when they went to first day for some of their relatives or friends, they brought to them some spiritual books. Last week in Ottawa, there was a lady, they made in the office the first day for her, and they were astonished. Instead of receiving gifts from them, she brought a gift to everyone. And when they opened the gifts, it was spiritual books concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were astonished, and the precious books at the same time, how truly all her thoughts were in their salvation, not in the party, and how the office of the employees are making a party for her. Then we have to be serious in our life. Are we serious? We want everyone to share us, our life in Christ, and to taste the sweetness of the fellowship with Christ or not. This is on the personal contact. Second thing, as a communal group, and when a person called me, instead of speaking of the politics of the church, or even Iraq and all the politics in the world, or economy, or the storms, and so on. We speak about Jesus Christ. What is more important than our salvation? We are in need to help each other, even the priest. And don't say, oh, this is the priest or a bishop or a monk. Every human being is in need of his brethren to help and to assist him and to encourage him. Therefore, I hope truly, practically, when we call each other, I read a story, very spiritual story. I tell the person's story. I read just a verse and I understand it through one of the early fathers. I said, oh, yesterday I read verse so and so, and I read a commentary on it by Saint John Chrysostom. I love this commentary. Then we encourage each other so that we become the community, and I can say fiery community, as God himself is a consuming fire, and his servants or ministers, as it is written in Psalms, are fiery. We have to be fiery, and instead of losing our awareness in Christ, everyone encourage the other to be more inflamed. I hope that.
Being in a Western society, say in the university or in the school, we have so many colleagues among us. They are Christian or so-called Christian. Some of them are really good Christian, but they are not Orthodox. That's my mission, to attract those people to Orthodoxy. This would be my first goal, or to attract others just to know Christ, as your reverence is, to share what we have. Because so many questions, why Catholics are wrong? Why Protestants are wrong? We are faced so many times with this question.
I think now we are in need, before speaking about the Catholic and the Protestant, now we are in critical time concerning Islam and spreading all over the world. It is more serious now. Therefore, and I believe all the churches will become one when they will be attacked from outside. Then instead of all our time to be devoted just to enter in dialogue with others, we have to be serious to speak about Orthodox Church in the positive way. If any Catholic or Protestant want to admit it to us, welcome. But many, many persons who have the name of Christianity and they are not Protestant, nor Catholic, nor Orthodox. And now it is, many of them, perhaps they will even become non-Christians. I believe we have to work together how to make pamphlets in good way to reveal what is the sweetness of our faith. Instead of just comparing this with that and so on, why we waste our time?
But this is reality. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and we live all the problem of Islam, and millions of people are converted, and just we want to enter in arguments without any profit. And we have to be serious to attract. And then when they test Christianity, they love them without saying to them, leave your denomination to ours.
Okay. In my religion class, the teacher came around and asked each one of us if we believe the Bible literally. And many people said, yes, we do. And he said, no, this is not true. Catholics believe it contextually and not literally. And he used an example of the creation story about the dome surrounded by water. And he said, we know scientifically that there is no dome and there's no water surrounding the planet because we've been to space. And he said that we should never take the Bible literally but contextually. And the whole theme of, let's say, Genesis is that God created everything, but we shouldn't believe all the little details. What can you do in that?
There is a society or a group in Pasadena, in California. They devote all their life for answering all these questions by videos and by books and by monthly magazine. You can be in contact with them, and you have a lot of books which answer all these questions. For me, I took many books to Egypt answering the question. One of them concerning the 6 days of creation, more than perhaps 600 pages in English. The Amri magazine, every month, they answer every question in scientific way, and they are scientists, not religious.